Morning Believers Church. Man, I miss you guys. This is like week 9, and it's tough, but we're going to get through this together. I want to encourage you again, keep being the church. You guys are doing awesome. Keep loving people. Keep showing people how Jesus loves them. Keep sharing your signs, putting those in yards, and we'll get through this together. If you're watching from another church, welcome. It's an honor to have you here with us. I'm hoping soon that all the you guys who've been watching us online for these last couple of weeks but never been able to be with us in person will be able to come. If you missed our announcement last week, we're going to stay on this online format through the end of May. If I had my heart's desire right now, I'll tell you it was June the 7th. That's what we're shooting for, but I'm not going to commit to any date. We want to come back full throttle with our kids' ministries and our nurseries and be able to have you in here and not so spread out that we can't be a family, we can't do life together. So pay attention to our social media, pay attention for those announcements. Hopefully in the next week or so, we'll be able to kind of announce what we're targeting at. And I can't wait to see all of you and see all the you guys who have been watching us online for these weeks but never been here, to be able to actually meet you in person and say hello and get to know you. We're going to jump into our series, Running with the Giants. We've been at several weeks now. I think we've got 2 more weeks left. And it's based on this idea out of Hebrews chapter 11. There's a list of people that are heroes in the faith that the Bible specifically calls out because of their faith. Then in chapter 12, in the first verse, it says, 12:1 says, that we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith. And then it goes on to compare it to this race that we're running. He tells us to take off the sin, to put sin aside that hinders us, and run this race called life. And again, the idea is, what if these people could come down and give us one lap, run one lap with us? What advice would they give us? What were the things they would tell us? And I noticed something this week as I begin to look back over the people that we've done and some other people who are on the list. It makes me wonder, why are there people not on this list that I think should be? And why are there people that are on this list that really didn't make good decisions, that didn't live life or do life right? Why are they on this list? One of those people is who we're going to talk today, and that's Samson. Most of you have probably heard the Bible story of Samson and Delilah, and Samson's strength came from his uncut hair. But if you really want to know the truth about Samson, he ends up a slave to the people that he's supposed to rescue the Israelites from. He ends up with his eyes gouged out. He ends up blind, pushing a grinding wheel, grinding wheat in a mill, doing the job that an ox should do, they have Samson doing. I don't think that's where God intended him to end up. And I'll tell you in a minute why I think he is on the list, but you need to know he didn't get life right. And I think when Samson comes down, he would have to admit the decisions he made. He would tell you that he was an adulterer. He was deceptive. He lied and cheated. He was very selfish. But I think when he would come down, the first thing he would begin to tell us is, you need to be aware and conscious that when you begin to think you see everything in your life correctly, you're in a dangerous place. When you think you can see and you know everything about your life, when you read about him, he would not listen to anybody. He rejected counsel. He always knew and always did only what he thought was best for himself. He didn't listen to outside input. And I think he would tell us. I think he would say, you don't have to lose your eyes just to be blind. You see, he lost his eyes and he lost his eyesight. But he was blind to a lot of the things in his life way before his eyes got gouged out. He didn't see a lot of things coming and made decisions over and over and over. You see, I think this is really true for us. A lot of us don't see things in our life, and our friends laugh at us. You might say, well, no, I am not, and you say a trait or something about your life, and your friends laugh. Well, the reason they laugh is because they see something that you can't see in your own life. And my prayer this morning is that you and I let God help us see differently. Maybe take a fresh look at our lives, because I think that's what Samson would want to tell us. You see, the Bible says of God's word that it's a lamp unto our feet. It helps us see where we're going, and it helps us look inward and see ourselves and see the issues that God wants us to work on, the things, the decisions maybe that we need to make that we're not seeing the influences around us. I think Samson would warn us to be careful and be careful about a couple of things that we become blind to. And the first thing is, Samson was blind to God's purpose for his life. Don't be blind to the purpose God has for your life. See, the Bible is very clear. In Samson's case, he had a purpose. He was from birth. He was put on this earth for a purpose. If you read in the book of Judges 13:5, this is the prophet talking to Samson's mother. And it says, "You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut." That was a covenant that the Nazarenes made with God when their children were born. They wouldn't cut their hair. And it was a covenant they made, and they dedicated their son to him, to God, from birth, because God had a specific plan. Look what it goes on to say. It says, "For he will be dedicated as a Nazarite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines." The Philistines are the people he ended up being a slave to. Notice that the Bible says that he was supposed to be a leader. He was going to rescue them. Yet, he found himself a slave to the people he was supposed to be defeating. This vow was from birth and supposed to be able to use him to lead. See, the problem was Samson didn't have a full vision for his life, the same vision that God has for his life, that God has over me, and God has over you. You see, I'm not just the only one called. We like to say, "Oh, preacher, that's your job. Preacher, you're the one that's supposed to go pray for people. You're the one that's supposed to teach and talk about God and teach people about Jesus." No, that's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says, for those of you who believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you've heard of the Great Commission. That's exactly what that is. That means all of us are pastors and preachers on some level to go share God, to go be leaders for the kingdom. And see, Samson didn't know what his full vision was. He only saw what he thought was right. And the problem with that is there's a proverb here. In Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint." In other words, people don't have anything guiding their lives. And they just live by this, whatever. It doesn't matter what decision I make. It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter where I spend my money. My decisions don't matter because they don't have a vision guiding their life. You were born with a purpose. We teach that here week after week after week. God created you for a specific purpose. There's something that he needs done, and he created you to do it. Samson became blind to that. He didn't see God's purpose for his life. The next thing I think he would say is we become blind to the influence of relationships. You see, these relationships were Samson's really downfall. He made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Even when he was counseled not to, even when they told him, "No, that's not a good idea," by people he should have listened to, he kept going. Look what the Bible says. He actually ignored his father and his mother. And in Judges 14:13, it says his father and mother objected. See, Samson had come back and said, "Hey, I found this girl, and I think she's hot. I want you to go get her and bring her back as my wife." Well, see, the problem was that the girl he found was a Philistine. Now, this is not a racial thing. This was God's rule to them was that they stayed within the Israelites. It's not a racial thing. It's what the New Testament we would say, and the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. This is Christians and non-Christians. Why? Because it affected his life. It affected his purpose. When his parents begged him, if you read the rest of the verse, it says, "Why must you go to the pagan Philistines and find a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Go get her for me. She looks good to me." In other words, I know what I want, and I'm not listening to anybody else. You see, Samson became blind to these relationships. Ultimately, you've heard of Delilah. She was the one that would do him in. That he made a choice to go to this woman who sold him out and got him to give up the story behind his strength, and it didn't work out well for him. You see, the Bible even says, going to Samson's mother and father. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible actually says there's a promise with honoring your father and mother. In Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then so it says, so that it may go well with you and may enjoy long life on the earth. Now you may say, Clint, well, I don't really have a father and mother that live worth honoring. Or maybe you don't know who they are. I firmly believe that God puts you in the family of God and will give you that. He'll give you somebody to go to be a mother and a father, to give you wisdom and directions. You need to be careful when you choose your relationships because they have power over you. That we become blind to those, these relationships that are, and the way they're pushing us and the way they're guiding us and the decisions we make. The thing that should wake us all up, though, is the next one. Samson would say, and I think Samson would have to admit, Samson became blind to the presence of God. What do you mean, Clint? Simply this. He didn't know that God had left. For a lot of you maybe who have served God for a long time, you learn when God's speaking to you. You learn when God's dealing with your heart on something. But we become callous and we don't even know that God's not there. And it happened to Samson. You see, he was with Delilah, and Delilah was badgering him time after time, saying, what gives you your strength? He would make up something, and then it would prove wrong. Finally, he gave in. He told her it was his hair, so she gets him to sleep. She cuts his hair. She goes to the Philistines, calls them in, and then jumps and screams to Samson, the Philistines are coming. Samson jumps up. And he's going to handle business like he always did. His supernatural strength would kick in and he would take care of things. But look what the Bible says actually happened. In Judges chapter 16, verse 20, it says, when he woke up, he thought. Now, I don't know about you, but I've made a lot of mistakes by just going, well, I thought, and then did something. And not really going to God, or is God even in this or behind me on this? But look what happened. It says, I will do as before and shake myself free. You see, he had always done that before. This is an example for us in the New Testament of grace. Samson made bad decisions and would get in bad places and then step out to fight for the people of God, and God would show up and give him grace and mercy. But the truth of the matter is, we serve a loving, gracious, caring Father, but he's also a holy and righteous God. And there does come a point where God will tell you, go your own way. Make your own decisions. The Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And by that means, he will always take you back. But he will let you make a decision. And he will let you walk that decision out. God wants a relationship with you by your choice. Here's the thing though. Samson gets up. And he says, I'll do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize that I love this phrase, the Lord had left him. I don't ever want to wake up and realize God's left and I didn't even know it. Pay attention to the presence of God in your life. He talks to us. He leads. Learn his voice. One of the things we pray over our girls every single night of their lives, because I know I'm human and I know my wife's human and we can mess up, but I know my Heavenly Father will always speak truth and always speak to my girls, even if I don't do it right. So we pray over them every night that you will always hear clearly the voice of God, whether it be a booming audible voice or that still small voice inside their hearts. And see, Samson lost this. He didn't even realize he had gotten so far away from God that God had finally just took his hands off and said, you're on your own. So the Philistines, this is the part of the story where the Philistines capture him, gouge out his eyes. They actually put him on display like a trophy. They would bring him out as entertainment for dignitaries, and they sent him to the mill to push this wheel like an ox. You see, he had become so out of touch with God who gave him his strength, he didn't even realize it. You see, but he down in his heart, I think, remembered something, and that is that God still loved him. But he was paying the price and the consequence for the decisions he made. But see, here's where I think Samson gets on the list in Hebrews 11. Here's how he gets into the hall of faith. Because it's not how he lived, it's how he finished. Because look what happens. As we finish this lap with Samson, I think he would tell us three things. And I think he would be adamant that we learn this. One, that you cultivate the presence of God. In other words, don't try to make it harder than it is. Read your Bible, pray, serve people, be generous. See, we follow Jesus, and a lot of us have made a commitment in our life. I'm going to follow God. Jesus, you're my Savior. But we don't do the simple things. Again, I go back to my daughters. We'll tell them, hey, the easiest thing to do is obey. Obedience wins a lot of game. And I think Samson would tell us that. Because when you're obedient and you read your Bible, you pray, we work hard to provide you with these things. And there's a reason. Because it helps cultivate the presence of God in your life. That doesn't have to sound spiritual, overly spooky. That's just God, you being aware that God's here, he's present, he's for you, he's not against you, he's going to protect you, but you got to listen. He will give you directions left or right, forward, stop, don't, quit, if we just listen. But if you're not aware that his presence is moving, you're moving away from him, then it's going to be a problem. James 4:8 says, come close to God and he'll come close to you. I tell people this. I think if, as a lot of us have in our lives, we walk away from God. I don't think God stays at the point which you left him. I think he walks right behind you and is just waiting on you. He's waiting on Clint to turn around and go, I can't do this anymore. I'm going back to God. And then you don't have to travel that whole distance back because he's been closing the gap on you this whole time. Cultivate the presence of God. Learn. We like to say here that even in worship, God, the Bible says that God is here with us. You learn to tangibly feel, listen, and sense God. The second thing I think he would say is to choose relationships carefully because they have power in your life, good and bad. Bad relationships, the Bible says in one verse that bad morals corrupt good morals. Bad decisions help force you into bad decisions. Your relationships have influence on your lives. And Samson's decisions, he would tell us, got him to be blind doing the job of an ox when he was called to be a leader in the kingdom. You have that same call on your life to be a leader in the kingdom. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less than what God has for you. Look at the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools gets his eyes poked out. When you're foolish and you hang out with foolish people, it's going to come back to bite you. Make these decisions. Let God help you. When you cultivate his presence, you pay attention to your relationships, you let God help you to choose these relationships that will help you take your one step closer to God and not steps away. That will help you make decisions that will get you closer to God. You may have relationships you need to go seek out, people to help you, and you might have relationships that right now, this morning, today, or whenever you're watching this, you may need to cease right now because their influence has taken you in the wrong direction. The last one I think Samson would say, the thing that I think got him on the list, and there's no doubt in my mind that somebody sitting in their car, sitting in your living room, watching on your TV, somebody needs to hear this. And that is, I think Samson would tell us that failure is never final. And I know that can sound hokey and cliche, but it's the truth. Because Samson, at his lowest point in life, blind, pushing a grinding wheel, prays. Something in him, that seed of God in him, said, I gotta go back to God. And he prays to God and he calls out to God and God shows up for him. And look what the Bible says here in Judges 16:28. It says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. Please, God, strengthen me just one more time. And the rest of the story goes that they bring Samson out to show him off. They put him between the pillars of the temple he was in and he pulls them down and takes out more Philistines than he had ever battled in his entire life. He finished well. The thing I want to bring to you is that his failure was not final. And your failure is not either. You can call out to God and the Bible says he'll respond. You see, the truth is it's only final when you refuse to get back up. When the Bible says God will never leave you or forsake you, he's serious. King David in the Old Testament writes that he tells God, God, I can go to the lowest pits of hell and you're there for me. In the same way you're there for me when I am at the highest parts of heaven with you. Your failure, whoever you are, your failed marriages, your failed relationships, maybe you feel like you failed at being a parent during these times where you're locked in with your kids. Maybe you failed at a job. Maybe you've just made some bad decisions. Your failure does not have to be final because the Bible says he's a redeeming God and God will redeem you. That redeem is just a fancy word for bring you out from wherever you are, get you cleaned up, and get you going back on the purpose that God has for your life. Just like he had a purpose for Samson, he's got a purpose for me, he's got a purpose for you. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:16. It said, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again and again and again. That's what's been on my heart all week. I don't know who needs to hear this, but get up. Don't let your failure be permanent. Get up. Not because you're perfect or you can do it, but God is with you and he can do it. And I want to encourage you today. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never made that commitment to your life to say, God, I'm going to serve you. Your son came for me. He died for me. He paid the price of my sin. Then you need to do that right now. And it's just a simple prayer as this. Right where you are, you simply say, Jesus, forgive me for not getting it right. I give you my life. You are my Lord and Savior. God, help me follow you the rest of my life. And when you pray that, the Bible says that this hall of faith, I think the stands in heaven, all stand up and begin to cheer for you, for getting up off the mat and going. Now, for the rest of you who maybe have served God and you're down, that your failure, the decisions that you made, we all mess up. Get back up. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you, though maybe battling with this decision to get up and go again. And I'm going to pray over your offering and your giving as I close. But you need to know this. Your failure is not final. God's there waiting on you to just simply make a decision to get up. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, for everybody within the sound of my voice, I thank you, Father God, that they hear not only my voice, but Father God, they can hear you and they can sense your presence. And in that, Father God, you give them the courage, the strength, the grace, and the mercy to get up. Not get up and be perfect. Just get up and follow you. And let you help them clean up. Help them get life right. Help them do the things they need to do to be obedient to you. Thank you for supernatural strength in their lives, Father. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Father, for all those who have been giving and so generous, Father, remain generous in their tithe and their offering. I thank you, you bless their households, you bless their homes, their families. I thank you, Father God, that their house and this house will have more than enough to do everything you've asked us to do. We thank you, God, that you're our supplier, you're our provider. But Father God, we bring our tithe and our offering in obedience, and we bring it just as a simple act of worship to try to show you how much we love you. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, I love you. Melanie and I both can't wait to see you all again. Watch for our social media so we can put out and get you information about our return. We will see you guys right here next week. Have a great week.